Dr. Rena here. I'm a dental specialist and founder of RW Perio, located at 75 Harley Street. Welcome to my podcast, Life and Smile, where we talk about everything dental, lifestyle, business, and much more. Every episode, I'm joined in conversation with a specialist expert in their chosen field, who give us a behind-the-scenes glimpse into their daily regime, career turning points, and an insider look at what they can't live without. As a businesswoman myself, it's so inspiring to hear how people have built their careers and shattered those glass ceilings. So let's get the conversation going. Dr. Rena here, welcoming you back to season 4 of the Life and Smile podcast right here in central London in our Harley Street recording studio. And we're back for what is no doubt going to be an incredibly inspiring and fun episode. Sitting with me as my very talented guest today is Lily Worcester. Lily has, of course, made her name in the world of media and magazines. Having previously been the deputy beauty and lifestyle editor at ES Magazine, Tatler then came calling, where she is now their beauty and lifestyle editor since 2019. Lily, welcome to the podcast.
Rena, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited.
Really looking forward to this episode. So your impressive background has seen you involved in so many great positions with so many prominent names across the industry. But let's take it back right to the beginning. So when did it all start? How did you get into your career? Tell us a little bit more.
So I think I've always had a infatuation with the gloss and glamour of the beauty and fashion industry as a whole. Maybe that's something to do with my mom and my granny were in fashion, and right, I would just spend hours and hours, you know, going through their wardrobes and their perfume collections, and you know, I really knew that I wanted to have some place within that, but I'm not sure I knew what it was at that point. Yes. And I think by the time I got to uni, I think I was quite focused on wanting to be in magazines. And, you know, at Leeds, I was writing for the paper. I was styling the fashion shows. And then in every holiday, I was just trying to do every internship and work experience that I could get my hands on, you know. I did some interiors styling at Living, etc. I was doing lifestyle at Brides, fashion at Harper's and Net-a-Porter, product reviews at The Independent. But I think it was when I did work experience at ES Magazine, I think that was my most pivotal experience. It was my first experience working in beauty. And God, I loved it. I think I was probably at that time just organizing the beauty cupboard. But, you know, I just couldn't believe that I would be, you know, in a little room surrounded by every beauty product that was about to launch in the next few months. And, you know, there'd be shelves and shelves of Chanel. And I was there being able to smell and try and touch it all. And, you know, I was obsessed.
And didn't feel like work, I guess.
No, work. I mean, I just couldn't believe how cool it was. And actually, I kept going back to ES Mag for more work experience, more internships. And finally, I was offered a permanent contract there by the editor, Laura Weir, who's incredible. She's now creative director at Selfridges and doing some very cool things there. But she was amazing and gave me so much opportunity. And, you know, it was a small team, so it was sort of, they had an all hands on deck sort of vibe. And so I was doing a bit of interiors, a bit of beauty. I was doing some really cool interviews with like a really wide breadth of person, from, you know, Anthony Joshua, which was very cool, to Anya Heimarsh, and you know, sort of everyone in between. And, you know, we were working on the newsroom floor, and it was so buzzy and so exciting. And, you know, I had drunk the Kool-Aid and I was obsessed.
How did it feel? Because you did so many internships at ES Magazine and then you got your official post. At that moment, like, there must have been quite a pivotal point where you think, wow, I've actually got an official job here after all of this kind of hard work and groundwork.
Oh, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I remember getting my first credit in the magazine, and you could only see it if you sort of tilted your head, and it was written in this, like, very small print on the side. And I remember my parents and boyfriend, now my husband, you know, rushing out and, you know, collecting hundreds of copies just so that they could see my name on the spine like this. But no, I felt like I was living my best life. I was such a cool, buzzy atmosphere. I loved it.
What a great feeling. And you must have been involved in so many like different topics within kind of beauty up till now. Is there anything that's really stood out to you that you've really enjoyed or has had a big impact?
I think, to be honest, what I love about my role is the breadth of subject that I get to cover. You know, I love the fact that one day I might be doing an interview with Sarah Matthews, an incredible gynecologist, on, you know, the controversial subject of gender selection. And, you know, the next day I might be, you know, writing about, you know, the mystifying area of clean beauty and what that means. And I love that diversity and that breadth. And, you know, I mean, I do love writing, commissioning nutrition-based features. You know, I've commissioned Tim Spector a few times, which is always incredibly thrilling. I'm a big fan of his and his podcast. So I suppose, yeah, it's the breadth
it's the
that
breadth
I enjoy.
And the different variety that you get to explore, I guess, on a daily basis.
Yeah.
For anyone sort of starting their career, so you mentioned kind of you always wanted to, you kind of knew, surrounded by your grandma, your mom, you kind of knew this is what you wanted to do, but weren't quite sure specifically, but you knew this is something you really enjoyed. For someone starting their career, what would be your advice to them? So, I mean, how did you navigate then when you became clinical? Or did you just take the next step and say, oh, okay, I quite enjoy this, then take the next step and slowly built that career that you've wanted?
I mean, I suppose advice that I would give would be to not underestimate the value of working hard and also having a sort of passion and love for what you do. When, you know, I've worked with so many people doing work experience, and the people that genuinely have a love and an excitement for being there, they really stand out, because you'd be surprised how many people sometimes just feel like they don't really want to be there, and they are not going to be the people that get the jobs. And I just don't, you know, you don't have to be an Oxford English grad to be a success in this industry. You have to have a drive, a good work ethic, and a real passion for what you're doing.
And at the beginning, so obviously when you were interning, you don't know where that's going to lead to. Did you have days where you're like, how am I going to keep going with this? And is it actually going to, do you have doubts? Is it actually going to lead to a job? How do you keep that momentum up and that enthusiasm up, like, on a daily basis?
I think because I was young, I was quite in the moment, and I wasn't terribly forward-looking maybe in that way. So I was very happy to just take the one work experience at a time with total confidence that it was going to all work out. I mean, my sister, who has worked in beauty and actually now works for Ralph Lauren, but she started doing work experience at magazines and ended up going into beauty PR. So, you know, doing the work experience could take you, you know, any which way.
Yeah. So it's putting in the work, and then almost like, I like that, you're taking each day at a time and just maximizing each day and enjoying it and being in the moment. I mean, the editorial and the commercial landscapes they've changed dramatically over the years. That fast-paced content, everyone wanting that instant kind of access to everything. Do you feel that's been the case, and has that changed sort of how you deliver your content over the years?
I mean, that is absolutely the case. I mean, my personal experience is, having gone from a weekly, which is quite a quick pace, to a monthly, which, you know, you have a bit more time to work on everything. So my personal experience hasn't necessarily been that, but obviously the industry at large, that is very much the way it's going.
What would be your, from all of that change, what would be your proudest moment to date? Was it that time where you saw your name in the magazine? What would be your proudest so far?
My proudest moment would probably be getting my job at Tatler. You know, Tatler was such a Bible for me growing up. I loved it. And I remember when doing work experience at Brides, which is also Condé Nast, thinking, God, I mean, if I could have a job in Vogue House, just life would be just complete. And so I think it was, yeah, getting my job at Tatler.
And you still enjoy it just as much as when you started?
Oh, yeah. You know, and the sort of the more you learn, the more, like every year that you're in the industry, I feel like it's more exciting. You become more knowledgeable. You like ask more questions.
Yes.
So, yeah, absolutely. Love it more than ever.
Do you ever feel like you get to a point where you have, like, you know everything about the role and you're really super confident, or do you think there's always space to learn no matter what like position you're in?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the day you stop learning is, especially in this industry, especially doing beauty, you know, technology's evolving every day. You look like every time there's a new product, every doctor, every expert I speak to, I'm learning loads. So I think the nature of the beast is you are always learning. I mean, I'm sure it's the same with you.
Yeah, for sure. I think I think you kind of don't want to stop learning. Otherwise, that's when things get stagnant and boring. So pushing yourself every day is so important. What's kept you kind of going? Do you have a mentor? Do you have an editor that you've always turned to? Anything like you particularly read that keeps you sort of motivated and enthusiastic every day?
I think I'm very lucky. I've got a very robust support system of editors and people in the industry that I am constantly turning to for advice and inspiration. You know, one of my really good friends, Roxy Nafuzi, is an incredible author and entrepreneur, and she's also a life coach, which is handy to have as your friend. And, you know, just today she's launched her third book, and, you know, I mean, that's incredibly inspiring and so motivating. And so, I mean, I have an incredible network of women, actually, that inspire me constantly.
And I think it's so important to have that to keep you going every single day. Tell us about you kind of mentioned the roles you're doing, what you're involved in every day. You know, it's almost like a different day. But do you have like a typical working week, like certain days you do X, Y, Z? Do you have is always every kind of week and day very, very different depending on what the demands of the role are?
I mean, the only predictable thing is that it's going to be unpredictable.
Right.
You know, you might be, you know, a typical week might be jumping on a overnight train to Port Williams in Scotland to go and interview Vanessa Branson on her private island, you know, before, you know, rushing back to London to make it for Fashion Week and being backstage at Dem interviewing the amazing hairstylist Larry King on... Then, you know, jumping on the Eurostar to Paris and driving to Normandy to see how the Cyr Trudon candles are poured. You know, all the while, you know, writing and sending your work back to the editors at Vogue House. And you know, so that, I mean, there really is no predictability, which is great fun.
It sounds like absolutely great fun, but it must be quite, it takes up a lot of energy traveling, making it work with your family, home life, etc. How do you juggle all of that? Because you do it so flawlessly.
I mean, you're very kind. I mean, I think it goes back to if you're genuinely loving what you're doing, you know, going on a little boat over to Vanessa Branson's private island or being backstage at Fashion Week, like that's still so exciting, and that gives me such a buzz. And if it didn't, you know, maybe the travel and would be too much, but it's not, because I, you know, I'm so excited for the next project, the next feature.
So it's more that it actually gives you energy than drains your energy. So that's Sounds really fun. And what about like off duty? So, you know, when you're off duty, where do you normally hang out in terms of favourite spots in town or otherwise?
Off duty, my friends will tell you that I'll probably be eating. So, you know, in the summer, nowhere better than being outside at the River Cafe with a big plate of buttery ricotta ravioli in one of their bellinis of the day, or at Christmas being at Harry's Bar having a Milanese and truffle risotto. You'll find me there. I mean, I go to, with a couple of my friends from ES Magazine, I go to the Anglesey Arms in Ravenscourt Park every fortnight and put the world to right over beef ragu, pappardelle, and bottle of wine. So I suppose, yeah, out of eating or, you know, perhaps I'm also slightly addicted to like massages. So, you know, I might be having a spa day with my girlfriends at, you know, the Corinthia maybe, which has...
I love that as well. Oh, forever, yeah.
It's absolutely incredible that when I first went down to the basement area, that sort of huge space, the fires and the glass sauna. I mean, I've had some...
You know, their treatments are brilliant as well.
Their ESPA treatments are incredible. Yeah, so...
Nice. Yeah. So you've got a really nice balance of sort of, even though your role is super fun and gives you energy, a nice balance of relaxing, eating, keep looking after yourself, I guess, which is, it must be really important so that you can do your role the best you can.
Absolutely. And also, I feel very lucky that through my job, I've actually made some incredible friends. So a lot of the time going for dinners and stuff, they are actually other beauty editors or people in the industry who are my closest friends. But so, you know, we'll often talk about, you know, maybe beauty and health and, but, you know, it's with some of your closest friends. So, you know, it's definitely not work, but.
Yeah, that's so nice. It's more like a lifestyle and it's kind of all merged into one. So I have one more question we ask all of our guests, which is always fun to find out. So three things we can always find either at your desk or in your handbag as part of your sort of mini survival kit that you just can't live without. What would they be at the moment?
You'll always find some kind of... sort of, I'm a big fan of anything that can make my life easier. So a sort of hybrid, multifaceted product is where what I would put in my handbag. So... you'll always find some kind of blush sort of stick for the cheek, lip and eye combo. You know, I love the Westman Atelier blush sticks. I love the Clinique chubby sticks, I think they're called. I love that. And, you know, just a quick dab on the cheeks and the lips and on the eyes, you know, at lunchtime just perks up your whole face. I'm also just a huge cult fan. I don't know if you've tried them, the Rhodial low lighters. They're this incredible product that's sort of part concealer, part highlighter, and for someone like me that gets dark under eyes, just a little tap under, you know, under your eyes just brighten the whole area and can really just transform the way you look. So the colour stick, the under-eye brightener, and I've got long hair, so going anywhere without a hairbrush is a disaster. And I suppose if I'm being really organised, that might be with a little hair product, maybe. The Almost Everything cream from Hirschson's, they comes in quite a small tube, so that would be my...
Amazing. My always looking list. Your best.
Yeah, well...
Lily, thank you so much. That's been such a fun conversation. It's really nice to have you here in Harley Street. I'm sure we'll have you back very soon anyway. But thanks again for being on the podcast and hope to see you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me.